One simple verse that has so much meaning. Psalm 73 and verse 24. 73:24. Can we read it together? And we'll wait a second here for you. Find it, the page, find it on your device, look at the screen, whatever you need to do. Praise God. All right, let's read together. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Praise God. Are you glad for the counsel of the Lord? Praise God. Lawyers are referred to as counsel. And they have a lot of knowledge. They have a lot of expertise. They have a lot of ability. But do they have it all? Are they perfect? Not even close. But He is. Our God is. That's why we can be open to Him to guide. Amen. That's why we can be open to Him to speak into our lives. Because afterward, thank God there's an afterward. Hallelujah. Amen. An afterward that may come in our lifetime in terms of the blessings of the Lord that He wants to bestow, but an afterward that includes forever. Forever. Praise God. That's provision. That's making things possible. I'm so thankful we can know His goodness. You can be seated. The Lord bless you so much. Counsel. There are times that that counsel is important. It's necessary. It's required. And there are times that we are hesitant to seek counsel, or even hesitant to be open to counsel, because we're thinking, "I got this. I know the way." There's a joke about men not wanting to seek directions. And I saw a cartoon that said, or showed rather, the children of Israel, you know, kind of a group of them. And after 40 years, Moses' wife asked for directions and got the right way to go. We know that's not how it turned out, not even close. Because they were following a cloud, a pillar of cloud, and a pillar of fire. The Lord didn't forsake them. Praise God. They were there. Now, the Bible tells us where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I read that one time, and I kind of questioned and thought, wait a minute, if you hear too many voices, if there's too many people speaking, wouldn't that result in confusion? In the multitude of counselors, there's confusion? No, not when it's God and godly counsel that is given. See, when we have, if we were to have one isolated story in the scripture about the healing of leprosy, Sister Donna taught about that. The healing of leprosy. If that was just one instance, then we would think, well, maybe coincidence. Maybe just a freak of nature, or however you want to call it. But there's example and example and example of people being healed, people being delivered, people being set free, people being able to walk in liberty. Prison doors have opened. Blind eyes have opened. Praise God. Hearts have been healed. And captive have been set free. How God has done a tremendous work. So there's a multitude of what God has done. And we have voices today who can speak up and say, I've been delivered. I've been set free. I was locked up tight in an addiction, in a problem, in a situation, but God, hallelujah, thank the Lord, He stepped on the scene, He did a work, He showed His power, thank the Lord. And so, it's not confusion. If what is being said lines up with God, in terms of a multitude of counselors, lines up with His word, There's not going to be confusion. There will be the outcome that God desires, and it'll work out for His glory. Hallelujah. It may seem as though there's chaos, and there's just a whole bunch of confusion. But thank the Lord, when He brings us through and He leads us out, I'm thankful that He becomes the author. See, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. And that helps me to decide when there's confusion, someone else is doing that work. Someone else is bringing that about, because God is not the author of confusion. What is He the author of? He's the author of eternal salvation. Not just salvation in a sense of rescuing you out of the fire for the moment. Not just rescuing you from drowning in that situation, but the author of eternal salvation. It'll go beyond this life. It'll move into the realm that will take you to forever. Moreover, the Bible says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. There are carpenters that do finish work that's beautiful, finish work that's nice. This is going to pass away someday, but the Lord is going to finish our faith and bring us into the realm of forever. Praise God. It's going to last forever. It's not going to waste away. It's not going to fail. The Lord will continue to be the author of eternal salvation. Moreover, He can write the next chapter in your life. He can write the next chapter that will bring about what you've been dreaming for, what you've been desiring, what you've been hoping. Praise God. And if it's righteous, if it's a motive that will bring glory to God, He can write that next chapter in your life that will be amazing. It will be incredible. It will be marvelous. It will be beyond what you would dream. And thank God He's able to get it done. Let's keep trusting Him. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the one who can bring forth the counsel that we need. He's the one that can provide beyond what we could even imagine. Hallelujah. Now, when God changes a man, He changes their mind. I don't know what Noah was doing when the Lord appeared to him and said, "Build me an ark," and gave him the dimensions. Gave him the instructions. Nothing left to his imagination, except maybe, how am I going to get this wood? How am I going to get the materials? How's this going to come together? You know, I suppose his imagination took off a little bit there when the Lord spoke to him. But when God changed his mind, He changed that man. And so, even though it took over 100 years, Noah did what the Lord commanded. Noah involved his family, his three sons. And over that 100 years, obviously, they would grow into maturity. They would grow into manhood. They would marry. And then their families were involved in the construction of that ark. Praise God. I'm thankful that he did what the Lord commanded him. Abraham being directed by God to step into new territory, not only geographically, but spiritually. And in the promise, a promise that was so vast and so incredible that it changed the whole spiritual atmosphere and established a covenant with him. Abram had things that need to change beyond his name. But the Lord did a work in changing his name, changing his future, changing his descendants, changing everything, because he changed his mind. Amen. And Moses, growing up in Egypt, growing up with privilege, growing up with all that the Pharaoh would make possible for him in the palace, and the education and the opportunities and the riches and the convenience and all of that. Imagine Moses recognizing, I'm different. I don't look like these Egyptians. I don't feel attracted to their deities. There's something that somebody told me. Praise God. And he could remember the teaching of his mother, Jochebed, as he's just an infant, as just a little one. But those things stayed with him, those principles, that counsel that was there. The cat is not your God. The sun is not your God. The moon is not your God. There's Jehovah God, and he is one. Praise God. Hallelujah. That stayed with Moses. And then the Lord had to do a work to change his mind. And he changed the man. And Moses became the deliverer. But over all of the laws that he had to write, all of, you know, the God writing with his finger on those stones, and then Moses throwing them down and breaking them, and the Lord saying, okay, you hew those stones now. You carry them up the mountain. I'll write again, but you do it. Amen. Sometimes we may grow weary carrying that word. Sometimes we may feel like it's too great a task. But oh, what the Lord can bring forth when we are willing to step into his promise. Amen. And the power of God that was there. But all of those laws, all of those requirements, all of those procedures were simply made to be a schoolmaster. To help us to understand Christ is where we've got to go. Christ is where we've got to look. The schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Thank God that we know the power of the Lord to bring about that change, that instruction, that counsel that he's going to guide us with. Many other examples of those who put faith first and then made faith work. Not just a concept, not just a principle, not just an idea, but a lifestyle. They lived it and they worked at it. And they saw what the Lord could do. Guide me with thy counsel. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the Lord would bring a change to us, a change of our mind, a change of our life, a change of our direction. Praise God. And we'd be ready to move into the promises that he has for us. And that our faith would grab a hold of the promises that are in the word of the Lord. And we'd make those changes in our lives and not be hesitant to repent, but to desire God to do a work. Praise God. And we were baptized in his name. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not just going to be a bad day. Not just going to be a situation where things are going to fall apart. Oh no, sin is serious. Sin is a problem. Sin's got to be changed. And the Lord gave a way to deal with that dilemma by divine power. Where we take the name of Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, the name above every name, the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. And thank God for the power of that name to wash away our sins as we call on that precious name. It's more than an answer of a good conscience, like Peter would write in his first letter. Thank God, it's the doing away with sin. It's removing us from that life and moving us into the power and the blessing of the Holy Ghost as God would pour out his Spirit. The Spirit will guide you into all truth, the Bible says. He'll show you all things to come. And thank the Lord, that power is still working. That power is still moving. The blessing of God is still there. Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10 were ready to hear the word of God. They were ready to obey Peter. Whatever you say, Peter, we're here to receive it. And Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He didn't offer it as a suggestion. He didn't say it's a good idea. He didn't just say, well, you can take it or leave it. My counsel is good, but you really don't have to be serious about it. No, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Thank God that we can fulfill the word of the Lord and respond to his counsel and know where that counsel is going to take us. Into more victory, into more power, into more blessing. Hallelujah. Thank God that his counsel is designed to fulfill his word. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do we allow His strength to come? It's a good way to move in the things of God. Don't try to do things in your own strength. Your own strength is important. Your own will is important. Your own efforts are important. But thank God when we run dry, when we have a problem that stumps us, and we don't know what to do, thank God His strength comes to us. His strength is imparted to us. His strength lifts us up, praise God, and we can endure, we can achieve, we can accomplish, we can serve because He strengthens us. Amen. In that same chapter in Philippians, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We're a needy people. We have needs. We have situations we face that we don't have an answer for. But thank God, no matter what the need is, whether it's spiritual, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whatever the need is, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. That's a counsel that works. Hallelujah. That's a plan that's fulfilled. That's the power that God wants to display. That's the goodness that He wants to give. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that we can recognize He's the one who gets it done. He's the one who imparts that kind of power. He's the one who works within us and through us and with us. Thank God, and we can allow it to happen. Guide me with your counsel, God. You're the one who is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of your government and peace, there shall be no end. Oh, thank God when I let Him be in control, when I let Him be the ruler, when I let Him be the king in my life, it's going to work out. God will show His power. There will be the blessing, and the glory will be revealed. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You ever think about Mount Everest? It's a long ways over there. I don't have any desire to go. But there was a reporter who was asking one of the Sherpas, you know, the guys that hire on to help carry the equipment, help carry the camp, help set it up, and do all the work and ascend that mountain. The interview by the reporter involved these questions. Why work so hard? And the Sherpa simply answered, to help people reach their goal. Well, the reporter wouldn't let it go. Why subject yourself to that hardship, to that danger? Why bother to reach the top? The Sherpa just looked at the reporter and replied, "It's obvious you've never been to the top." There's only a few that have experienced that. Now, I have no desire to, unless I'm in an airplane, and I'm not going to land there, just fly over it like I have Denali. Denali's beautiful. Most people only see the east side of Denali. Those of us who've flown by it, over it, around it, we've seen the west side, north side, south side. It's beautiful, incredible, amazing. But I want to reach the top. When the Lord says, come up higher. When the Lord says, I've got more for you. When the Lord says, come on. Climb that mountain. Keep going. Don't stop. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful we can reach the top in our job. That's probably, as men, that's probably where we put a lot of our focus. But God wants you to reach the top in your marriage, to make it totally fulfilling, to make it complete, to make it strong, to make it an example to this culture that wants to do away with marriage, to make a mockery of marriage, to make it seem as though it's not required. God wants to use you so that you can reach the top and show others this is how it works. This is how you make it go through troubles and trials. This is how you bring it into fulfillment and into fullness. God wants you to reach the top. Praise God. God wants you to reach the top with your family so that there would be the possibles that God would make available to you. Praise God. But there are those who will not commit. There will those who will not step forward. They'll step back and feel like, I'm doing okay. I'm average. I'm maybe even beyond average. So we look at things falling apart in our culture. God help us to be able to reach the top. Amen. To reach where God wants us to be in our job, in our marriage, in our family, because that shows His glory. That shows His power. That shows how it's supposed to operate. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the Lord is able to do a work through us and His counsel. Amen. There's a ministerial magazine that we receive as a result of our being a part of the United Pentecostal Church International Fellowship. And several of us are in here who have access to that magazine. I was looking through old copies, and they had a page that was called Retweet. I guess they're tweets. And then this was a retweet. And the first one just about knocked my eyes out, because I had to deal with this reaching the top. You ready for it? Talking in tongues will not fix what you would need to apologize for in English. I looked at that and I said, what? And I read it again. Talking in tongues will not fix what you need to apologize for in English. Now, how do you like that for counsel? Oh, my. The golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. So simple, but yet so powerful and so direct. That fits in marriage. That fits in families. That fits in our church. That fits everywhere. That's why the Lord said it, because it fits, because it works, because it brings Him glory. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful. I read another one. To the world, you are just one person. But to one person, you may be the world. Oh, my. God help us to recognize how valuable, how powerful, how important your leadership and your influence is. Praise God. And I'm thankful as fathers we can provide both good stuff and important boundaries and making things possible, because your example of godly character, being a leader in love, and the spiritual laws of life that God will put in operation through you, incredible. So seek His counsel. Desire is His counsel. James wrote, if any of you lack wisdom, I think he could have rewritten that. All of you lack wisdom. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wait. It shall be given him? That's what it says. James 1 and 5. If you underline in your Bible, underline that one. Praise God. It shall be given him. Now, James goes on and writes about wisdom from above. James 3:17. The wisdom that is from above, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy. It's full of good fruits. And then he does what it's without. Because sometimes it's good to use deductive reasoning, what it isn't, before you determine what it is. And so James, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, writes, it's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. Amen. And thank God we can have that wisdom that's from above. Now, I'm reading another book bad decisions, the legacy of Lot. Not a whole lot to say about Lot. The Lord said, remember Lot's wife. He didn't say anything about remembering Lot, but he spoke about him. He wrote about him. And we have the story of Lot and his uncle Abraham. Lot's decisions. He separated from Abraham. He went out with Abraham, but he separated from him, pitched his tent towards Sodom. Sodom's reputation may not have been as it was before, you know, Lot moved there and it got all fouled up. But the fact that he separated from Abraham, a mentor, spiritual father, if you would, all the things, the blessings that God brought to Abraham. But then he was rescued by Abraham when Lot and several others were captured when someone attacked Sodom and Gomorrah. Rescued. Abraham took his servants, went racing after those who were captured and defeated the armies that had laid a siege against Sodom and destroyed it. So Lot has another decision. What's he going to do? Is he going to stay with Abraham? Or is he going to return to Sodom and Gomorrah? What did he do? Return to Sodom and Gomorrah. Those decisions, you know, you got to stop and think. And that Abraham prayed for Lot. Prayed. Lord, if there's 50 righteous, 40, you know, on down. I say he sounds like an auctioneer in reverse. Instead of going up, he's going down. 10 righteous. Couldn't even count that many. And what a terrible thing. But Abraham prayed. Well, in this book, at the end of every chapter, there's a section titled, Think About It. Okay? Think about it. And oh my goodness, I about got my socks knocked off on the first Think About It. Let me share some of them with you. This is Brother Carlton Kuhn, who wrote about bad decisions, the legacy of Lot. I can read my own writing here. A husband, a leader, and the influence that's there. That's my preface to this statement. Here's his statement. Do you want your children to repeat your decisions? Would you want your daughter to marry a man like you? So he's writing about Lot and the stuff that would come in Lot's life. Would you want your daughter's husband to treat her like you treat your wife? Now, this time I was under conviction. I don't have a daughter, but I get what Brother Kuhn was getting at here. In what ways is your wife's life better or worse for having married you? Now that one really struck home. Because I took a 19-year-old away from her family. Took her 1,000 miles away from her family. Put her in her husband's home, whom she knew for 4 months. Put her in a position of a pastor's wife. And she had never had experience in ministry. Seen ministry. Her cousin was her pastor. But totally new, totally different. And I'm so thankful and so honored and so appreciative of the changes that she made to accommodate being my partner, being my wife. Now, I hope it was for the better. I hope it made her life better and not worse. But I have to look at that. I've got to be honest with myself. I've got to be able to say now, How did I make things worse? And if I did make things worse, how can I make it better? See, I'm not quite done reading this book yet. I pick it up every now and then and read it, because when I get to think about it at the end of the chapter, I think, oh boy, what's he going to say now? How is he going to step on my toes this time? But we need God's counsel to make us what he wants us to be. We need his counsel to do what he directs, to act on his counsel, because he's got a plan. He wants to receive me into glory. He's trying to shape me. He's trying to make me. He's trying to change me. He's trying to help me. I want you to get ready for glory. I want you to be prepared to step into that place. Hallelujah. I'm thankful we can receive his promises. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will receive you. And I will be a God unto you, and you will be my people. I will be your father. You will be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Oh my. Oh my. I'd be stupid to step away from that promise. I'd be dumb to move away from what the potential is there. I want him to be my God, and I want to be among his people. I want him to be my father, and I want to be his son. Hallelujah. I will receive his counsel. I will move into the realm of obeying him. I will do what he wants me to do. Now, 50 years ago, I was a graduate of Bible college. 50 years ago, I went to my hometown of Hoonah to become the pastor. 20 years old. Now you can do the math, can't you? 50 years ago, God led me to that place. I thought I knew everything. Got a diploma from Conqueror's Bible College. Like Brother Yaden says, I even know a little Greek. He's about this tall. I didn't know everything. Not even close. Preached 4 times in 1 week. Teach on Wednesday. Teach on Sunday morning. Preach Sunday morning. Preach Sunday night. Work a full-time job, and then rescued by my wife to bring music. We didn't have music for a year and a half while I pastored there. Ooh, you talk about. Well, what a rescue. Praise God. It was amazing. But God, you know what I learned? I learned he's faithful. I learned he's a father you can trust. He's a father you can call on. He's a father who makes all things possible. Oh my. I'm so thankful he is an everlasting father. Is there a reason why that everlasting is in front of father there in Isaiah 9:6? Everlasting father. Why not just father? Because he can be your father now, tomorrow, next week, and on into eternity. He's there. He's faithful. He's guiding. He's saying, my counsel shall stand, and everything I say is going to come to pass. Praise God. And that's who we can walk with. He knows how to be a father. That woman who touched the hem of his garment, I don't know what her age was. She'd suffered with that for 12 years. Let's say she's mid-30s. Jesus started his ministry at 30. He may have been about the same age. But what did he call her? Daughter. Amen. The roof is being torn off. Those faces are looking through. And then that sheet gets let down with a body in it. A man who is paralyzed. Jesus said, son, your sins be forgiven you. Then he also said, rise up and walk. What a father. Hallelujah. Oh, what a power. What a blessing. Praise God. I'm thankful that's who we can put our trust in. I'm thankful that's who we can bring our needs to. I'm thankful that's who we call upon. And he said, I'm going to receive you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, I want to make it there. I want that to be my future. Praise God. So I have to make choices. I have to choose. I have to look ahead and decide what I'm going to do. Praise God. Jesus made his choice. He became God manifest in the flesh. Now, we know that's glory. We know that's power. We know that's great. But we also remember the scripture says, he was rich, but for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. He knew no sin, but he became sin so that you could become righteous in him. Praise God. He made that choice. And Hebrews 2 and 10 talks about sons being brought unto glory. Talks about the captain of our salvation. Oh, that sounds victorious. That all sounds wonderful. That all sounds incredible. But through suffering is what Hebrews 2 and 10 says, the price that he paid. Through suffering, he brought sons unto glory. Through suffering, he became the captain of your salvation. Praise God. Oh God, help me not to step back. Help me to make the choice. Help me to follow your counsel. Help me to walk in your word. Help me to obey you. Praise God. Guide me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Your counsel, Lord. Not culture, not society, not tradition, not whatever. Guide me, Lord. And then afterward, after all the trials, after all the temptations, after all the tests, after all the blessings, receive me to glory. Hallelujah. I want to reach the top. I want to know what it's like at the top. Hallelujah. To be on that place. Amen. Amen. We've never been to heaven. We hear those reports. We hear those stories. Been to heaven, come back. Lazarus didn't tell us anything about it. But I've got the earnest of my inheritance. I've got the down payment. And if the Holy Ghost, with all of its glory, with all of its power, with all of its pleasure, with all of its joy that's unspeakable, with all of its everything about the Holy Ghost, is any indication of what heaven is going to be like, let's go. Amen. Don't stop. Don't turn around. Don't go another direction. Don't listen to the devil's detour. Move right into his glory. Praise God. Stand now, please. Hallelujah. Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful the power of the Lord could be there for us, to minister to us by his strength, by his counsel. Guide me with your counsel. Amen. Sometimes we may not understand. Sometimes it's not going to be clear. Sometimes it may be a bit foggy. But if you guide me with your counsel, God, I know where I'm going. I know what the destiny is. I know how it's going to turn out. Praise God. Glory. Glory. You know, Moses said, show me your glory. The Lord said, there's a place by me. I'll put you there. And you'll see my glory. Thank God. Let's let the Lord put us in the place where he can bless us. Let's let the Lord guide us and lead us, so that we could be in the place where even more of his glory is going to be seen. We've seen some incredible things. we've experienced some amazing services. We've beheld miracles. I mean genuine miracles. Not some stretch of the imagination, not some hyperbole, not anything like that. No, there's miracles standing here right now. Amen. Praise God. But, oh, there's more. There's more, and I want to see it. Praise God. Can you come and pray? We'll pray here for a little bit. I know this is Father's Day, and there's barbecues planned, there's dinners planned. Go to the restaurant, all of that stuff. I won't hold you long. But oh, we need to put something in our hearts today that says, Lord, I want you to guide me. I don't want to walk blindly. I don't want to walk on my own. I don't want to walk the way the world says to walk. I want to serve you. I want to serve you. Praise God. Let's call on the Lord now. Amen. Let's ask him to guide us. Let's ask him to lead us. Let's submit to him. Let's yield to him. Let's consecrate to him. Hallelujah.